You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 15th day of February, 2021. I'm going to be talking about a couple of pickups that some teams made and a change of philosophy that I think will help baseball market some of their stars a little better, relieve some of the frustration of the current trend in baseball, and I don't know, I know I'm not supposed to say things like this, but maybe make it a little more fun. Maybe? This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts, and when you're staying at home during these, well, let's just call them unusual times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Today with Peter Bukowski, or maybe check out Locked On MLB Prospects with Aram Lighton. You can send us Sunday requests via my Twitter handle, which is at Sully Baseball. I'm also at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. This show exists at Locked On MLB Pod on Twitter, it's the same handle on Instagram. I just realized that. Hey, a couple moves have happened. I'm actually recording this on the 14th. I'm dropping it on the 15th. And with spring training around the corner, you're starting to see some of the available free agents kind of run and scatter and find some homes. Justin Turner, the maskless one for the Dodgers, is going to re-sign with the Dodgers. And the deal that he signed is a 2-year deal to have him return to the defending World Series champs. The man who went to Cal State Fullerton, where your pal Sully is earning his second master's degree. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to take my bows. This will, if he fulfills his contract, this means he will play 9 years with the Dodgers. He's already played 7 years with the Dodgers. I like it when a player gets to 10. For some reason, there's something satisfying about that. He played a full decade. And it looks like Turner's going to get really close to that. And boy, Mets, he was a Met as recently as 2013. And then the Mets decided, how did they let him go? He was a free agent, signed with the Dodgers. Probably nobody noticed that. And he's become a mainstay. And has been a tremendous star, an all-star, has gotten a few MVP votes here and there. He hit a pair of home runs in the World Series. This most recent World Series against Tampa Bay had, and he's had 12 postseason home runs over the last 7 years with the Dodgers and has become really one of the most popular players in L.A., and there you go. It's a smart move. It's a smart move for everybody. I mean, Turner fits right in with L.A. Put him in at third base. He's still a good player. He's still a very productive player. And local kid. And I could say he's a kid because I'm older than everybody in baseball. World Series winner, League Championship Series MVP. And has been spectacular in the Division Series for L.A., just a good, solid, smart move. No one gets hurt from that. The Cubs brought back Jake Arrieta after some disappointment in Philadelphia. He's coming back to the Cubs where he's had his greatest amount of success. The Padres picked up Mark Melancon a few days ago. And, bless the Padres. They are going for it. They are absolutely going for it by acquiring Blake Snell, who we'll talk about a little bit, acquiring Darvish. They have depth in their starting rotation. Pomerantz, Emilio Pagan, are in their bullpen, and there will eventually be someone's going to be the odd man out with Darvish and Snell and, you know, Musgrove and Paddock. I mean, someone is going to be, you know, Denelson Lamet. Someone will be pushed to the bullpen, and they'll have depth in their bullpen. So, you know what? When you have so many teams not going for it, the Padres are like, nobody wants Mark Melancon? Really? When so many teams have bullpen issues, that someone like Melancon, who was an effective reliever for Atlanta last year, he did a decent job with Atlanta. And he was a Brave for a season and a half. And, you know, this guy is, I mean, he's in his mid-30s. And yes, we all know that relief pitchers can flame out pretty quickly. But, you know, he pitched 6 scoreless innings out of the bullpen for Atlanta this last October. And if he's great, then they've picked up a potential closer. If he's okay, then they've added depth. He's had a really solid career for the last 12 years. Bounced around a lot from team to team, but along the way has seen the postseason a few times and is looking to play in his first World Series. Maybe he'll do so in San Diego. Depth can't hurt. And I'll tell you another thing that can't hurt. My new adopted team, the Seattle Mariners, made a couple of signings. They picked up Ken Giles, who was a reliever, obviously was on the Astros when they won the World Series, been in Toronto. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's not going to play this year, but he's going to be around next year, and that would be kind of like they're making a trade for 2022. They reacquired James Paxton, who pitched with New York last year. The Yankees had some success with Seattle, and they're bringing him back. And there's a lot of things I like about that. First of all, maybe his solid years that he had in Seattle comes back to the Mariners and does well there. And if he reinvigorates himself, let's say Paxton finds his magic, like he had, you know, wonderful years he had before that, especially 2018 with Seattle. And let's say he finds some of that home cooking. He finds, oh, look, he's pitching well again. But the Mariners are going nowhere. Well, then all of a sudden, you have yourself a trade chip. So picking up James Paxton floating around, best case scenario is he's back to being an 18-game winning Cy Young fringe contender. The Mariners surprise everybody, and they win the World Series. That's best case scenario. The next best case scenario, easy for you to say, is for the Mariners, they don't do particularly well, but a guy who's just floating out there, they flip to get a young player. And the more deals like that you have, and that young player is there contributing in 2022, when, hey, Ken Giles is in your bullpen now, and everyone does all right. So these are all just smart moves, and, you know, Rich Hill signed with the Rays. I'm sure there's going to be some other moves that happened before I hit publish on here, because things are happening pretty quickly. But the Turner signing, Paxton signing, the Melancon signing, all smart moves. All smart moves. None of them are super long-term deals. Arrieta, you know, best case scenario for the Cubs. Some people are picking the Cubs to win the division. I don't see that happening at all. But I think that he was a superstar, Cy Young winner with the Cubbies. So I guess not a lot of bad things can happen if you bring him back. So there you go. Some smart moves, especially for some pitchers that are coming around. But I have some thoughts, and maybe a radical thought, of how to deal with pitching in a second. But all these teams are doing the repairs that they need to do. They're popping the hood, and that's sometimes a smart thing to do. But do you know what? Sometimes you need to pop the hood with your car. And that could be pricey, especially if you don't know where to shop. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like us. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's at rockauto.com. Oh, that took a lot out of me. I need something to build me some energy back. I want an energy bar. What's the best tasting one? That's Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. They're new, they're improved, they're delicious. My favorite flavor, if you listen to this, you know I love the raspberry covered in chocolate. German chocolate cake is great. Mint brownie is great. Cookies and cream are great. All of them are great. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. But they're healthy for you. It's great if you're health conscious, trying to lose, maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Let's take the cookies and cream that I mentioned before. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carb. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you, Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice and guest of this podcast, Aram Lighton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Podcast is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get podcasts. I kind of stumbled through some of those live reads there. I hope you're okay. I may need to have some more Built Bars. I may have to have a Built Bar or two. All right. This is going to be maybe a little bit out there. But bear with me, because I think I might be onto something. You know, before the big sluggers of the 1920s, like Ruth and eventually Gehrig and Jimmy Fox and all of them were starting to club all those home runs, the big stars of baseball were the pitchers. Cy Young, Walter Johnson, you had Grover Cleveland Alexander, Christy Mathews. Yeah, of course you had hitters. Ty Cobb and Honus Wagner and all of them were big stars. And Rogers Hornsby, they were all big stars. But the big matchups were always Walter Johnson versus Smokey Joe Wood. That was kind of one of the things that made baseball appealing. You had those matchups. Who's pitching today? And that's really where the win stats started to emerge, because all these pitchers would throw, go all nine innings and everything like that. And when you go through the years, having those pitchers, those dominant pitchers that made the matchup so appealing. This pitcher's going up against this. You had Gibson and Seaver and, you know, Jim Bunning and Juan Marichal. When I was growing up, Ron Guidry was a big one, and Steve Carlton, and, you know, Seaver kept being great, but the emergence of Valenzuela and Dwight Gooden and Oral Hershiser, and then the big ones coming in, you know, Clemens and Randy Johnson and the Braves aces and my favorite player of all time, Pedro Martinez. And that big kind of bravado of having the star pitcher be the one to dictate the pace of the game is one of the reasons why Game 6 of the 1986 NLCS was so critical for the Mets, because they knew Mike Scott was waiting on the other end of it. You know, so I always love the dominant pitcher. I do. And I love how a great pitcher can leave their thumbprint on a game. But we're moving away from that. We're moving away from that with pitch counts and removing pitchers, even if they're dominating on the mound. Because we've, you know, through the analytics, we've discovered that pitchers are better, you know, the first two times through the order, but the third time through the order, they tend to struggle. And the idea of having your bullpen men come in and take them out the last couple innings is a more effective way to do it, or so it's said. And also, it's, let's get down to brass tacks, more economical to do it that way. As we see, it costs you $40 million to get a pitcher like Trevor Bauer. Well, then, wouldn't it be better to get someone who you don't have to pay as much because they don't throw as many innings and you spread the wealth around? And that's smart on paper. To me, it makes the game less exciting. Because having that great pitcher pitching with the game on the line is always part of the fun of baseball. I know fun of baseball is not something we're always supposed to be looking at. We're supposed to be looking at the efficiency of baseball. But I miss that element of it. This isn't just old man Sully here. This is also looking at how do we get the game exciting and market some of the stars. You know, I tweeted out something during the Super Bowl, which was, I tweeted around the third quarter of the Super Bowl. I said, Kevin Cash would have pulled Tom Brady right now. And it was obviously poking fun at lifting Blake Snell while he was dominating the Dodgers in a potential elimination game, in a game when it was happening in real time, we all saw it was one of the most astonishingly stupid moves in the history of the World Series. When he made the move, I tweeted out, congratulations for the Dodgers winning the World Series, even though at the time Tampa Bay still had the lead, because we all knew what was going to happen, and it happened. And you saw that, you know, two times through the order, fine, then after that you go to the pen. And Anderson was wonderful the entire regular season, but he was gassed, and he was bad in the World Series. He was terrible in the World Series. Snell was dominant. I would argue at two straight games where a dominant pitcher was lifted stupidly in the sixth inning. Kershaw was lifted in the sixth inning in game five by the Dodgers, and it almost cost the Dodgers the game. They wound up holding him off at the end. Snell was lifted during game six, and that wound up biting him. No one remembers them lifting Kershaw being a bad thing because the Dodgers survived. But the whole notion of, well, they go two times through the order, no matter how well they're pitching, and then they get the heave-ho, I don't know, is that the way it's going to be from now on? And the dominant pitchers go five-some-odd innings? Now, I lament that, but I also know I'm screaming at the tides. So how do we turn that around and still have the fun bravado of having a dominant pitcher on the mound when the game is on the line, instead of it being a revolving door of other pitchers? And the fun of having that dominant pitcher be totally removed from the game and just be frustrating. And I thought about my stand-up comedy days. And yeah, there's a connection here. There was an opener and a middle act and a headliner. Well, and of course, we keep hearing the opener as a potential thing. You see the Rays and everyone trying that out. But what if we really take it that route? You know, re-listening to the World Series that I listened to, watched with my dad in 2014 when Bumgarner came out in the fifth inning and went the rest of the way, it made me wonder, was there something valid about how that game was structured? And what does that have to do with my comedy days? Well, in a comedy show, you have an opening act, you have a middle act, and then the headliner goes the rest of the way. Instead of thinking of these pitchers as starters, think of them as headliners. Who's going to headline the game? You know, I talked about the tyranny of the save for years, that you have people bringing in their closer and holding off on using their best reliever until the ninth inning because you want them for the save, even though the game could be on the line in the sixth inning or the seventh inning, and just saying, well, we're not going to use our pitcher because they pitch in the ninth for the save. That's why I call that the tyranny of the save. Well, maybe there's a tyranny of the start. Who cares who starts? Who headlines? Who's the headliner of the game? And they pitch five innings in the game. Every 5 days, they pitch five innings. But instead of it being the first five, what if it's the final five? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. They come in the fifth inning. And so you have your opener, your middle act, and your headliner. There you go. Everyone's heel in, and you mix it up, and you could have someone, if you're, when you put together a comedy show, you don't have three acts who are identical. You know, you don't have someone doing crowd work in the middle act, and then another person does crowd work as the headliner. You mix it up. You have several different styles of comedy, usually. What if you mix it up? It's someone you start off with a left-hander who is a junk ball thrower, then you bring in a right-hander who has an amazing changeup, and then you bring in your headliner. At that point, your timing's all screwed up. And Snell pitches his five innings, but they're the last five. Think about Bumgarner coming in that game. He was the headliner. Think about Pedro Martinez when he finished that game in 1999 in the playoffs. He pitched the final six innings. Maybe that's the moment where the crowd goes crazy. It's the third or fourth inning. Oh, it's 2-2, and here comes your headliner. All right, now here he comes. Now it looks pretty cool. In comes Kershaw. In comes Snell. In comes DeGrom. In comes Bauer. In comes Bieber. In comes Gerrit Cole to finish the game up, to be your headliner. And what if we do that and then we have new forms of drama? Because you could list that ahead. Who's scheduled to be the headliner? Not who's going to start. Who's scheduled to be the headliner? If this is the way we're going to construct things, instead of me saying, oh man, it used to be in my day that they would go nine. Well, you know what? Maybe that day is past, but we could still do it in a way that's entertaining and fun. I like the game on the line and a star pitcher on the mound facing a star batter. That's fun. It would be nice if they were going nine. But if it is that moment, like Wild Thing Vaughn coming in Major League, a film that I kind of think is overrated, but that's not the point. Why not? Consider the headliner. Consider saying, this pitcher's a headliner, and booking it the way you would book a comedy club. And maybe that's a way that we get some of this drama. Is this pitcher good? He headlines. He's a headliner. It's a new way to think of a pitcher. Instead of an ace, he's a headliner. And maybe those relievers, maybe a reliever is best pitching like the second and third inning or the third and fourth inning. And you get everyone on their toes, their timing is all screwed up, and then comes in the headliner. All right? So, it's something to think about. It's maybe a different way of looking at the game. In fact, it's not old man Sully. It's new eyes Sully thinking this way. Yeah, some of you don't like it when I refer to myself in the third person. But Sully doesn't care that Sully does that and bothers you. So I just referred to myself in the fourth person. What does Sully think about that? I'll tell you what Sully thinks. Sully thinks you should go to the... I have to stop talking to the third person. I feel weird. Think about the headliner. It's a different way of thinking. That I grant you. All right. Wrapping this up. Hope you had a good President's Day. Whoever you love as president. And go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and go to all the places where you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for the 15th day of, I almost said November. God, February 2021. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. As I mentioned before, you can call me Sullivan.